You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. My name is Ryan Weingartner. I work here at this church in a variety of roles. I teach Bible classes for our middle school. I see a few familiar faces there, which is fun. I also help coach adult groups and teach adult level classes too. So this topic we're in here today, why and how to memorize a chunk of scripture, is a big burden of mine, and I really enjoy this topic. I hope we get a lot out of this. Let me pray for us and get started. Again, not just because that's what we do at the beginning. We really need this, don't we? Don't we need a little prayer right now? Man, so much great material here, but we want to take it in. Lord, thank you that you give us the capacity to learn and even to probably learn more than we think we can. Thank you that though we've listened to many great teachings so far, you have something for us even in this breakout session. Help us to be here, focused. I pray against distractions that might make our mind want to wander. Help us to really take all this in. And if there's specific points that we need to consider, Lord, help hammer those into our minds here. Amen. Okay, so I want to start by talking about this concept of a chunk of scripture. What am I talking about here? Well, I'm not talking about isolated topical verses. So in other words, maybe you know three verses for the deity of Christ, okay? That's great. I'm all for that kind of Bible memorization. But what I'm talking about is taking a section of scripture. I'm going to memorize this paragraph of scripture straight through, or this chapter. One of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I'm going to be able to recite word for word through it. Or, you know where I'm going? This is my favorite book of the Bible. And I want to be able to just walk straight through that whole book at some point. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of memorizing, depending on your skills and time and whatever, that may be, mean different for you. But that kind of memorizing. And the reason is a few reasons here. First of all, it's easier. It's easier to memorize 15 consecutive verses in a chapter than it would be to memorize 15 isolated verses, mainly because you don't need to know the references. When taken out of context, add no meaning at all. So you're like, okay, is it 2 Corinthians 1:2 or 1 Corinthians 2:1? It's like you get so caught up in that kind of stuff, it doesn't help. Whereas I'm just going through a paragraph. In addition to that, it's easier because you have a thought flow. You know where the author's heading, because you've seen it as a paragraph. And it's better for that reason, too. You're going to be learning these verses in context. I think my favorite reason for memorizing scripture this way is that it facilitates meditation. You can literally do a Bible study at any time, any day, no matter where you are. You can just walk through a passage of scripture and be edified by it. It's probably what the Israelites were doing. If you think about a passage like Deuteronomy 11, it says, "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul." What does that mean other than memorize the scriptures? How do you impress words on your heart and on your soul unless you're memorizing them? I mean, he compares it to binding them as a sign on your hand and as frontals on your forehead. Those are actually written down. He says, the way you do that to your heart and your soul. So memorize these words, and then look what he says. "You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up," or in our context, when you're shaving, and when you're brushing your teeth, and when you're mowing your lawn, and when you're walking your dog. You can just literally talk about these things because you've impressed them on your heart and on your soul. That's what he's getting at. And so you can meditate on scripture day and night when you memorize a passage like this. So the point there is then, think of a favorite chapter of yours that you've read a ton of times, you love a lot, and ask yourself, could you walk through and memorize that whole chapter so you could have it in your head? All right, so the rest of our time, what I'm going to do is argue why you should do that, And then I'm going to give you some ways how to do that. That's it. Why and how. So why should you put in the really, really hard work of memorizing a chunk of scripture? Because it is. It's really, really hard. One of the hardest things you can do is memorize a big chunk of scripture. Why should you do that? First of all, you should do that because you've been given only one book to master. Have you ever thought about it like that? This is it. Like, God could have given us 29 Bibles, right? He could have. And we'd have to so much more material than this. He could have just given us the Gospel of John and said, here you go. He gave us this book with 66 books in it. And then he said this about it. All this scripture is inspired by God so that I can be adequate, equipped for every good work that he has for me. This is the only book in this unique category of being God-breathed. It's one book, and it's so that I can be adequate to do the work he's given me. And here's the secret. It's not that long of a book. It's not that big of a book. For one book, for a lifetime, this is it. It's pretty small. Especially if you're going to break it down into the Testaments. The New Testament of the Bible is a relatively small book, and you got a lifetime to master it. Does anybody know how many words are in the New Testament? Any guesses? No guesses? You're like, I don't know how many words are in any book. How would I have a possible guess at that? There are 184,600 words in the New Testament. And again, maybe you're like, is that a lot? Is that not a lot? I have no idea how to think about that. Well, compare that to some of the most famous novels that maybe you've read or have heard of. You've probably read at least one of these at some point. Here's where the New Testament lines up, okay? So the New Testament goes right about here between Great Expectations and Dune, okay? Now maybe you're thinking, okay, well, you're changing my mind the opposite way here, because that sounds like a really big book. Listen. What if the only book ever written in the history of mankind was The Fellowship of the Ring? You didn't have any bookcases in your house because you only had one book. And any time in your life that you had that itch to read, this is it. You'd pick this up and read it. It's the only book. You'd go with Frodo and Samwise on their journey over and over again, right? In a lifetime, how much of that would you know backwards and forwards? How many big chunks of it would you have memorized? Really? We're saying that the Bible is the only book in its category, and we've got an entire lifetime to master it. How many big chunks of it could you memorize? It's just one. It's just this New Testament here. That's the way to think about this. How many years you got left? How much could you memorize? I did a Bible memorization class, and the TA for my class was a 70-year-old lady. And on the last week of class, she recited all of Romans 6 and all of Psalm 1, just like that. And she's not done. She's made goals of what to do next outside of our class. And I think that's great. How many years left do you have? How much of this could you really tackle and take on? You could get a pretty big chunk of this if you did. Why should you work so hard at memorizing scripture? So that you can have the Bible on the tip of your tongue. You're going to work hard at memorizing this scripture, and it's going to be right there. Think of a verse like Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Again, what does that mean other than you have it memorized? I think of it like you'll become a sponge. And if someone bumps into you, scripture just oozes out. You can't help but having scripture because it's so stuck in there through the hard work of memorization. And you'll have that word of Christ richly dwelling in you to come out at any key moment you need in your life. And there's all kinds of categories for this. For introspection, you just walked away from that really difficult conversation. Or you've had some kind of depression the last 4 or 5 days, and you can't figure out why. You got those bitter thoughts toward that friend, and it's just bugging you. What do you do in those moments? Is that when you turn the radio on, right? Pick up the phone, quickly scroll something to get your mind off. Right? That's one option. Some people go the exact opposite way, right? Where they just think about it and chew on it and obsess on it. Again, no scripture, just my thoughts and feelings over and over and over where I over introspect. Well, we've got good news because Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is alive. Again, a unique book. It's the only one in this category. It's alive and it's active. It's working right now. And what is it doing? It says it can discern the thoughts and intentions of my heart. I want to do some healthy introspection. If I got a passage of scripture memorized and I'm having that moment, I can walk through some of that passage and God will mystically, supernaturally draw out the thoughts and intentions of my heart and I can do some healthy introspection. Or another verse, it's a very overlooked verse, James 1:21. It says, with humility, receive the word implanted. It's only six words, but it's deep. First of all, it says the word's implanted. What does it mean? It's in there. It's memorized. How could it mean anything else? Okay, the word is implanted, and it says, with humility, receive it. So instead of, again, obsessing on my introspective thoughts or turning the radio on, I humbly admit I can do nothing here, and so I receive the implanted word. I say, God, speak to me through this scripture as I dwell on this, and I can do some healthy introspection. You can have the word of Christ richly dwell within you so you can advise others. The Bible will be on the tip of your tongue when you're in conversations, when you're in situations where you can help someone else instead of your own wit and intellect and charisma, right? You can give people the word of God if you've memorized it. That's actually where Colossians 3:16 goes. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing, nuthateo, counseling, helping people change their minds. That's what that means. One another. How can you do that from your own wisdom? You need the word of God to do that. If the word of Christ is richly dwelling in you, then you can teach and counsel others in ways that's going to benefit them. Get a chance to advise others. Psalm 19:7. What a great verse. Talking about the word of God, and it says it makes wise the simple. I resonate with that one. I'm pretty simple. I am. I'm not a very intelligent person. I'm not saying that out of a lot of false humility. I've never done very well on standardized tests. I don't know a lot of what's going on in the world right now. I often feel dumb in those situations. But I've worked hard at memorizing scripture. And God has occasionally opened the door for me to advise others because the word of God makes wise the simple. I had this situation a few years ago where I was flying to California to see some friends. And I mistakenly thought that there would be some entertainment on the airplane. And there wasn't. And I literally had a backpack with my clothes and this. That was it. That's all I had. And so as a last resort, I spent those 4 hours going back through old passages that I'd memorized and just kind of re-memorizing, just because I had nothing else to do. I was bored. That week in California, I've never had so many moments where I'm in a conversation and the word of God comes to my mind, and I was able to use that to help other people. It was this pretty cool experience for me. I felt like, man, how cool that God could use me in that situation. When you work hard to memorize scripture, the Bible will be on the tip of your tongue, and you'll be able to use it to help other people in key moments. The Bible will be on the tip of your tongue to battle Satan. 2 Corinthians 10. Says that though we walk in the flesh, our battle's not in the flesh. It's not physical. It's spiritual. He says, so we need weapons that are divinely powerful. Divinely powerful weapons. What is this divinely powerful weapon we can have? He says, again, not so you can use this weapon against physical things. What's it for? It's for speculations. To destroy speculations, he says. To take every thought captive. To every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. What is this weapon that we have that can do this? Well, Ephesians 6:17 tells us. our sword of the Spirit, or another way you can look at that verse, our spiritual sword, it's not a physical sword, it's a spiritual sword, is what? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual sword. And when you memorize the Word of God, that sword is in its sheath at all times. You're ready whenever. This is exactly what happens with Jesus in the wilderness. Satan goes after his most vulnerable area. Remember the first thing Satan tempts him with? He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Matthew and Luke both specifically point out he was very hungry, and Satan tempts him with food. What's your most vulnerable area? You know the area right now where Satan can have easy ground? He's going to go after that, all right? And so what does Jesus do? Does he reason with him? Does he try to avoid him, run away? Whew. Pulls out a spiritual sword, doesn't he? Jesus, at some point in his earthly life, memorized Scripture. He worked hard and he memorized key passages so that in those moments where he was under temptation, he could pull out the sword of the Spirit and he could battle Satan, and he did. And it says that's what made Satan leave, is that Jesus had used Scripture and beat him. That's his divinely powerful weapon, is the Bible. So Satan left, right? And that's it? That was the end? Luke tells us he left him for a more opportune time. He's coming back, right? Same with us. We need that sword in its sheath for any time Satan might come. How often does this happen realistically? You know, how often are we at battle with Satan with these speculations and thoughts? Ephesians 2:2 says, there is a course of the world, and it's run by the prince of the power of the air, Satan. It's just flowing in this direction. It's like a river. It's a current, and Satan is leading it. He's called the god of this world. He's called the ruler of this world. How often is Satan coming after us with speculation thoughts? Constantly. All right? And you're like, well, I go to my Bible study two or three times a week, and I do devotionals in the morning a lot. That's great. You got your sword then. What about in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon when you just had that temptation or that accusation that came from Satan? Do you have your spiritual sword ready at all moments because you have implanted the Word of God within you? That's why you should memorize Scripture so you're prepared at any moment. Psalm 1, the same exact point. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You're like, well, how often do I hear the counsel of the wicked? Anytime you turn a TV on or a phone on or a conversation, it's the course of the world. It's constant. He says, blessed is man who does not do that, but what? I bet you guys know this one. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. That's how you counter the counsel of the wicked. How do you meditate on the Bible day and night unless you've memorized it? It's the only thing I could think of. Day and night, you've got this access to it ready at any moment. The Bible's on the tip of your tongue to battle Satan. Or how about during a Bible study? You could have the Bible on the tip of your tongue at Bible studies. Not because you're the teacher, because you're someone there to build up others. 1 Corinthians 14 is the chapter we learn more about what a church service looked like than any chapter in all the New Testament letters. And what does it say? There's one teacher and everyone's just sitting there? No. Each one has a psalm. Each one has a revelation. There's the assumption that people there were sharing and contributing. And guess what the most edifying thing they could contribute is? Scripture. Maybe you've had that situation before where you're sitting in a Bible study. And it's not the 30 minutes of the teacher droning on that you walked away with. It's that one comment that someone made, especially if it was based out of Scripture, or if it was quoting Scripture. That's what we want. We want to be edifying toward others. If we've got Scripture memorized, we can use that in those moments to build up others. Acts 4 is about the New Testament prayer meeting. Acts is all about prayer, and it's groups of people praying together, but only one time does Luke give an extended prayer. And you know what they do twice in that prayer? They quote Scripture. They were under heavy persecution, and they quote Psalm 146 about how God is the all-powerful creator of the universe, And they quote Psalm 2 about how he's the true king over all other kings. He is sovereign. Talk about a good way to have a perspective during persecution. They quoted these scriptures and said the place shook. It was so powerful, focusing in on those truths. You have to memorize scripture to be able to do that. You've got to be able to memorize scripture, to be able to pray scripture in a meeting like that. But boy, it's edifying when you do. Yeah, why should you work so hard at memorizing scripture so the Bible's on the tip of your tongue for all these situations? Why should you work so hard at memorizing scripture so that you can understand scripture? You memorize scripture so that you can understand scripture. Here's how this works. When you memorize scripture, it forces you to slow down. We read way too fast. There's studies about this all over the place nowadays. You will read as fast as your thumb can scroll, right? And you're just flying through these articles. You're not really understanding them that well, and you're definitely not remembering them. That's just how it goes. And people know this, and so they try to find ways to slow down their Bible reading. And people will write out the text. Have you ever done that before? It's a good way to slow yourself down. Or you say it out loud. Well, I'm telling you what, there ain't nothing slower than memorizing scripture. You're going at a snail's pace. In that moment, they're like, oh, I gotta hurry up and get to the next verse. No way. You're not gonna remember it. It doesn't work. Memorization forces you to slow way down and think about every single word that's on that page. And then you start to notice things you wouldn't have noticed before. Things start popping out that if you just did your devotional reading and you got your chapter in about 7 minutes and shut the Bible, you'd never notice these things. I was doing Galatians and I was getting right at the end of the book. And I've always thought of these last verses as kind of a hodgepodge of whatever he's trying to say. I started seeing really direct connections and saying, my goodness, he is summing up his argument here. I would have never noticed something like that. You start to ask the question, why did he write it that way? You come across his choice of, why did he pick this word? Do you see what you're doing? By memorizing it, you're now understanding it better. You're going to figure out why he picked that word. Why did he use this tense? It seems like it would be present tense. He's using a past tense. I got to think about that now. Why did he pick this pronoun? Why did he use plural instead of singular? Why does this tone seem to change? All of this stuff starts to come out in your study as you memorize scripture. Yeah, one of the great benefits of why you should memorize scripture is that you're going to understand this favorite passage of yours even better if you memorize it. And lastly here, why should you work so hard and take this task up of memorizing a chunk of scripture? So you can remain purposeful. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you take on this spiritual life. Another word you could put here, be intentional. Be purposeful. Be deliberate. Consider what you're doing as you walk, not as unwise sluggards, but as wise men, because you're making the most of every day that you've got, because the days are evil. They're evil and they're short. That's his command there. Make the most of your time. Or 1 Corinthians 9 talks about everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. That's true, isn't it? Can you imagine an Olympic athlete walking up to the starting blocks? He's like, well, I've been pretty nonchalant about this race for the last year or so. We'll see how it goes. You'd never do that. This is your chance, right? He says, "What the athletes compete, they exercise self-control. He says, they do it for a perishable wreath, we for an imperishable. How much more should we be very diligent and careful with how we're walking out this spiritual life of ours? You talk to people sometimes and you'll ask them this question. Oh, so what are you studying the Bible right now? Would you have an answer to that question right now? A lot of times people are like, oh, you know, actually last week I read a couple chapters in Matthew. No, wait, I think it was Mark. So I'm just trying to, I don't know, I'll try something next week. What kind of response is that? Is that the tone of Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 9? No. Be purposeful. Set some goals. You're like, well, I just don't read the Bible that way. I just read it and God speaks to me and, you know, isn't that good enough? I believe he can do that, of course. But why would you take that on in the imperishable area of your life? Why would you think of it that way when you don't think of any other area of your life that way? You're diligent in your Netflix schedule. You know what show you're watching now. You've already got the next two in the queue. You got a schedule set out for how you're going to do that. That's called careful walking. You're being careful. You're thinking. Why wouldn't we think that way with our Bibles? Now, memorization is not the only way to do that, of course, but it is one. And it's a cool one because you can think big picture. Like right now, I'm in the middle of a 5-year Bible memorization goal that I've set out a year ago. I don't know if I'm going to make it. But it's given me something to shoot for. I'm being careful how I walk. I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to be like an Olympic athlete training. That's how I'm trying to think of it. And, you know, I'm 41, so when I'm 45, hopefully I'll finish that goal and I'll set another one. And when I'm, maybe it'll be a 10-year goal. I don't know. But I want to master this book. I believe in this and I'm trying to master it as best as I can. Well, there you go. Those are some reasons why it would be worth it for you to take a chunk of scripture that you like, whether that's a paragraph, a chapter, or a book, a couple chapters, whatever that might be for you, and to say, I am going to make a run at this, all right? Hopefully you're convinced. Like, this is really, really important. This would be really good for me. I hope I've gotten you there, because as we move to the how, the first how, which is by far the most important how, is you got to really want it. I mean, this is pretty obvious, maybe. But you have to really want it, because this is a really hard work to do. But if you do really want it, you will be able to do it, regardless of your skill level or whatever techniques you've learned or whatever. If you want it, you will be able to do it. What if I said, I will give you $1,000 for every verse you can memorize in the next 8 weeks? So 8 weeks from today, you're going to stand here and you're going to start reciting. How many verses do you think you could do? I guarantee you could do 100 verses. I guarantee. That's about 12 verses a week. You're like, oh, I couldn't do it. You'd be walking out of here with $100,000. Right? You could do it. I guarantee. I promise you could do it. I don't care your skill level. What does that say? What does that tell us? Incentive is nearly everything. It is. I'm going to go through some tricks and whatever, you know, I'll give you some of the fun stuff there. Incentive is nearly everything. I've got two friends who both are notoriously bad at memorizing texts and numbers, what we're talking about here, right? Really bad as in life at that. Both of them, at different times, felt convicted to try to do some strong memorization. It took them a while, but both of them, on their own, memorized the entire book of Philippians and can recite it and have used it at really cool times in their own lives and others' lives. In fact, one of my friends loved it so much he's moved on to Ephesians. This guy is not gifted at memorization, and he's through chapter 4 of Ephesians now. And you could hardly go to a Bible study where he doesn't mention the book of Ephesians, okay? It's amazing, okay? At the same time, I know people who have gone through ridiculous fields in their education where they had to memorize amazing amounts of material. And then it comes to Bible memorization, and they'll say to me, I just can't memorize the Bible. And you know what I think? Let's restate that. I just don't want to memorize the Bible. That's what it comes down to. I'm sorry, but it does. Incentive is everything. Now, the problem is, of course, the ease, the enjoyment, and the benefits of this great task are going to be very low at the beginning and very high in the long-term future. I'm talking a couple years from now. Okay? Just like any discipline. You want to learn a foreign language. You want to start some exercise regime. You want to go on a diet. What's it, what, how does it start? It's really hard. It's not fun, and you don't see any of the benefits, right? That's the problem. That's what we're dealing with. So with Bible memorization, if you start this journey, it really is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith that one day this is going to be pretty easy. One day it's going to be really enjoyable. And one day I'm going to have real benefits from doing this, but not yet. And it's faith. It's faith in putting in this work now that that's going to bring something. So the role of our role then is to try to increase our faith. Like the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. You can increase your faith. And all your faith in different things in your life has gone up and down throughout your whole life. Your faith that Bible memorization is worth it can increase. You've obviously got at least that much. You showed up to the workshop today, right? You got your mustard seed size of faith that this task would be worth it. You can increase it. Here's a few ways to do that. Pray for a hunger to memorize the Bible. This should be a prayer that you're praying regularly. God, I want to memorize Scripture. Help me do that. God can work in you both to will and work for His good pleasure. He can give you the will. He can help you with that. That should be a constant prayer. God, give me a hunger for this good work. Another way to increase your faith, continue to go through all those why points that we just went through. Again, that short little book that I sent you has even more of the why points in it. It has tons of Scripture in there. Why? Because we need it. We need to go back to that so our faith can be increased that this is worth it. And one day you will reap a benefit if you do not grow weary. It takes a long time, though. So you have to keep going back through those why points. I think the other thing to consider is studying some Bible-based apologetics. If you really thought of this book the way we're supposed to think of it, it will make you want to memorize it and put the hard work in. Have you studied things on fulfilled prophecy before to show you just how incredible this book is? Have you studied the reliability of the texts? Or the other way to think about this, if you have any nagging doubts about any parts of the Bible, Satan will use that to keep you from memorizing. It's not worth it. Why would you memorize this book? It's not even God's word. You'll hear messages like that unless you tackle those. Do you have any persistent doubts about this book? Then you might need to tackle a book on that so that your confidence in this book can be there and therefore your faith can increase, and then you'll work hard and you'll memorize it. Okay, so that's really, again, I can't emphasize that enough. It's a matter of incentive. Do I really want this? I will memorize. If I don't, I won't. The other how that I want to go over is understanding the passage. Now, if you've been tracking with me, this might sound a little confusing because I said this is a why. Remember? Why should you memorize it so you can understand the passage? How do you memorize it? By understanding the passage. All right? So here's the way to think about this. It's a little tricky and your brains are a little filled right now, but listen. Understanding your passage will help you memorize it, which will help you understand it, which will help you memorize it, which will help you understand it. Understanding is really the thing that brings the why and the how together. It's going to help you understand it, and then you will remember it, and then you will understand it. It just goes like that. If that's too far, think about this like a week from today when you haven't sat through a bunch of stuff. Understanding is the means and the result of memorizing. Yes, so you're working through your passage and you're trying to memorize it. And you're like, I don't understand this verse. Oh, well, I'll just put it in my brain as best I can and move on. It's tempting to do that. No. You want to memorize the passage? The best thing you can do is understand why he wrote it that way. What is he saying? Then you will be able to remember it. I'll go over other tricks, but again, you could come up with like, okay, I'll come up with a song for it. Or I'll make an acronym for the first letter of every word in this verse, then I'll remember it. You might remember it even better than you would by understanding, but you'll never use it. It'll never come to mind in those key moments. It's not on the tip of your tongue. You haven't done the hard work. Do the hard work. You're slowing yourself down. You're not in a hurry. And don't go to the commentaries yet. Don't go to the teachings yet. Like Proverbs 2:4 talks about, if you're digging for that wisdom, like you're digging for precious treasure, you will find it. Take your time in the scripture. Think about what it's saying. You can eventually go and cheat and get some wisdom from others. But even then, the point is you're trying to understand exactly what it's saying. My example for this, okay, so I taught a Bible memorization class. And one of my students' goals was Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. You know that very rich passage about the blessings in Christ that we get? He was trying to memorize that, and he sent me an email, and he's trying to understand it. And here's what his email looked like. I don't know how well you could see that. He took every one of the pronouns, he, him, his, and tried to guess if that was the Father or the Son. And he put, you know, he's got question marks on some. And so I gave him my opinion on those, but then I told him, you are doing the exact right thing here. I said, I guarantee you're not only going to remember this passage, but you're going to benefit a lot from it because you are doing the hard work of understanding. And sure enough, he quoted the whole passage at the end of the class. And we did a post-class survey of how this stuff's working. I should have put that up in here too. He had the most glowing remarks about how much he's used this passage in his life and in key moments for others. Because that's how it sticks in there, and that's how it becomes usable, is doing the hard work of understanding exactly what the passage is saying. A great way to understand your passage is to talk about your passage. If you're ever sitting around after a Bible study, and it's a group of people talking about sports and the weather and whatever, you should say something like this. Hey, I've been trying to memorize this passage, and I can't understand this part. And then recite your passage. That's one of the greatest things you could ever do in your life. You're like, dude, you are overstating your case here. You're losing credibility. Hear me out. This is one of the greatest things you could ever do in your life. You know why? Because four wonderful things happen simultaneously when you do this. Number one, you just started a spiritual conversation from a bunch of lame conversations, right? Number two, you got a chance to go over your passage one more time to try to remember it and say it out loud. Number three, you're going to get some thoughts on your passage that you will then definitely remember your passage. It's going to give you fresh insights. And number four, hopefully, you've inspired some people to try to memorize Scripture. It's one of the greatest things you could ever do. You're like, oh, it sounds so arrogant. I don't want to do that. Get over it. This is so good to get people thinking this way. It's so good. It's a great way to understand your passage. Okay, what I want to do now is just walk through what I do to memorize a chunk of Scripture. I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's how I do it, okay? And hopefully some of it's useful. First of all, use your devotional time to memorize. You're like, I don't know about that. Like I'm reading through Jeremiah right now, and then I want to memorize Romans 6 on the side. No. Put Jeremiah on the shelf. You'll come back to him later. Be devoted to one big goal of memorizing. Now, what people say to that is, that's cheating. I'm supposed to be using my devotional time to draw near to God. I don't want to use it for this side project here. I've got two things to say to that. Number one, of course you want that. But I think about it like my marriage, okay? We've got a date night. That's supposed to be for me to draw near to my wife. But we occasionally listen to a teaching on marriage, or we'll fill out a questionnaire on parenting or something like that. We're not drawing near in that moment, but we're preparing ourselves to be able to do better in the future. We're training. I think it's okay for a season to say, I am training so that I can bear fruit in the future. I'm going to use my devotional time to memorize. And number two, if you do it right, you can be drawing near to God as you're memorizing the Scripture. You really can. And much more so as you re-memorize Scripture. For me personally, most edifying times I have with God is going back through a passage I have memorized and re-memorizing that. New things stand out. I feel connections to God that are really rich. So that's my opinion. Use your devotional time to memorize. Not always, but if you get a project, you got a goal, go for it. Find your memorization closet. Matthew 6:6, the King James talks about going in your prayer closet. Okay, what does that mean? Find a place and time where you can do this without much interruption. If the kids are running circles around you, neighbors are screaming, you know, TV is on, this is going to be really hard. I don't know if you've ever heard of these U.S. memory championships or world memory championships. These guys recite digits of pi to like 1,000 digits. Look it up on YouTube one time. Here's what they look like. Noise-canceling earphones, blackout glasses. Why? 100% focus, zero distractions so that they can go through this. You're trying to do something pretty difficult by memorizing. You got to eliminate as many distractions as you can. Use an actual Bible. It's great to have the Bible on your phone. Go back to it throughout the day. But when you're doing this, I'd say use an actual Bible. It's not quite as distracting as a phone. And the other reason for that is that you should sit in the, if you can, sit in the same chair and use the same Bible each day. This will use your spatial memory that you have, which is the best part of your memory, by the way. And you'll start to understand your scripture better when you do this. I'm gonna give a shot at this. This is my example here. Who's got a favorite New Testament verse? Who's got a favorite New Testament verse? What do you got? Romans 12:2. Okay, give me 2 seconds here. That's in the second column. The last verse in that column is Romans 12:6, meaning the first verse in column 3 is Romans 12:7. Now, this is desperately showing off here. I understand that. But this is what I do. Here's the second column, Romans 12. Last verse is 4. What did I say, 6? I was off by 2. Okay? But I've done enough in this one Bible. As you can see, it's falling apart. In fact, I bought the exact same Bible. It's waiting on my bookshelf for when this really does fall apart. You will start to see your passage going from one column. There's usually 4 columns in a Bible, right? You'll start to see it in your brain of when it's going from one to the other. You can picture where it's going. You just will if you use the same Bible over and over. I've never tried to do that. I've never tried to memorize where things are on a page. It just starts to happen because your spatial memory is really good. So if you use the same Bible every day, you will. It's just one more way to get those words stuck in there. Read the first phrase out loud. So here's what you're doing. You take your phrase, you read it out loud. Close your eyes. I'm a big fan of this. Close your eyes and repeat it several times. Read it. For instance, again, exercise here. Here's an example of a phrase. When I say phrase, I mean somewhere between, I don't know, 4 and 8 words, right? Take a phrase and read it out loud. Who wants to read this one for us here? Go for it. Now, think about how she just said that. Which word did she emphasize? Is that the word that should be emphasized in this verse? What you want to do when you read it out loud, emphasize different words each time. I think that's not the word that should be emphasized. But don't feel bad. I've done this exercise probably 20 times, and every time people have emphasized workmanship. We are his workmanship, right? That just comes off naturally. I think it should be his. Hear it out for a second. We are his workmanship. What's Ephesians 2 about? I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. He has made me alive together with Christ. He has raised me up with him. He has seated me in the heavenly places. I am his workmanship. Oh, and go on. He created me in Christ, and he prepared good works for me. It's all about him. I am his workmanship. It's not about me being a workmanship. I'm his workmanship. Do you see how that brings a little richer meaning into this little phrase here? And then you'll remember it. It'll stick in your head. Try different words to emphasize as you go through your phrases. So you're repeating it. You're saying it. You're trying to think about what it means. I am his workmanship. What does that mean for me right now? Ask God what it means. And then think some more. You know what that is? He's going to tell you. whatever your next thoughts are after you just ask God, what does it mean? Just assume those are God's thoughts. You just asked him. Now you think about it some more and you talk to him some more. This is the essence of meditation. You're thinking about these words. You're trying to understand them. You're talking to God about them. You're hanging on to them. You're repeating them, repeating them, repeating them. Move on. Go to the next phrase. Get that one down. Put the two together. Try to understand the connection. There's a reason this phrase came after this phrase. Work down the passage. Eventually, you do one of these things where you put your hand over it, you know, and you kind of work down the passage. Always going back to the beginning. Get as far as you can in a session, whatever time you got. When you get a chance, one other time that day, if you could go through it, huge difference. It's no secret that repetition is pretty key to memorization. And then the next day, where do you start? You start at the verse that you had already started with. Again, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, I'm starting at 3. It's going to take me a little bit to get through 5 like I did yesterday, but then I'm going to start there, then I'm going to move on. And each day, get a little more progress down through my passage until I can get it all the way down. That's how I do it. I got a few more advanced memorization tips, and then we'll take whatever questions, thoughts you guys have. A couple of extra stuff here. Let time pass to develop long-term memory. What I mean by that, let's say you were memorizing Romans 8, and yesterday you got all the way through it. You didn't look at it once. Today, without looking, you were able to go through all 39 of those verses. You got it down. Kind of. What you need to do now is purposely not look at it for a week. Don't look at it. And in 1 week, try to see how well you can do it. You won't do very well, but that's okay. You're moving this information from your short-term memory into your long-term memory. Go over it a couple days again until you do the whole thing. Wait another week. Don't look at it for a week. Then try to go through it. Do the same thing, week. After 4 weeks, now you wait a month. Go a whole month without looking at it. And guess what's going to happen that next time you try to look at it? You're going to forget it all. You're going to be like, I don't know anything. It's not true. You're going to feel that way. It'll take a little time. You'll get it all again. Go another month. Go another month, okay? Obviously, quote it whenever you can. Recite it if you're talking to someone and it comes up. But as far as sitting down and trying to go through it, when you do that, now, after about a year, you'll have it down pretty well. And then, again, this is long term. In a few years, 2-3 years, you'll be at a place where you could have not looked at it for 6 months, and it's so stuck in there because you've done this for so long, so many times, it's just there. And you can, again, you got your sword ready at any moment. This really does work. You could do this. You can't just keep doing it every single day, though, because it doesn't move to your long-term memory. It's just how the brain works. Balance between exact words and spending too long on a verse. All right? This is one of the reasons I don't like the app Bible Memory. Have you ever seen this before? There's a website, biblememory.com. If you like it, great. If you've never seen it, you should try it. Maybe you'll love it. I don't like it because it makes the word red that I got wrong. And you know what kind of word it almost always is? Therefore instead of for or then or Christ instead of Jesus or Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. And maybe I'll eventually shore that up, but I'm trying to move. I'm trying to make progress here. I don't want to get stuck on stuff like that. Now, I don't want to also paraphrase it. I do want this memorized. I think of like if my plane crashed on a deserted island and I had a paper and pencil. Could I write out this text accurate enough that it's really the text of the Bible? Maybe it's got an error or two here and there, but I can meditate on it, focus on it. That's what I'm shooting for. All right, so balance that out. Skip things like closings. Like, let's say you're like, hey, I want to memorize Colossians. How many chapters is Colossians? Anybody know? Wrong. It's 3 chapters and 6 verses. Because from 7 on in chapter 4, it's just greetings to this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. So really, you just got a little over 3 chapters to memorize. You're like, well, that doesn't count as the whole book. Well, you're the boss here, and this Bible memorization plan is the employee. You get to choose what you do here. You don't have to memorize all these names and closings. You can skip that. Similarly, you're going to come across some sections that are really tough. Like there's a list of sins at the end of Romans 1. It's like 30 sins listed. I could never get that down right. Oh, well, I pick my favorite ones and then I move on. It's your choice. You could choose to memorize all those. Do it. If not, don't. But just keep that perspective in mind. If you're like, oh, I hate memorizing because I'm trying this really arduous passage, therefore I have to get it word for word, just skip it. You can do that in chapters also. You're like, I want to memorize Philippians, but my favorite chapter is 3. So memorize that. Then memorize 1, then 4, then 2. It doesn't matter. You're the boss. So I think keep that in mind. It's just like your Bible reading plans, right? Those can become the boss way too easily, and you feel so behind and guilty, and it's just not working anymore. Drop it. Do something else. Last point for me here is utilizing visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learning styles. There are Bible memorization books out there, and they almost all land on this pretty quick and have a lot of material on this. And to me, I think, use them all. I don't need to find out what's my best one. I'm going to use them all. So I read it out loud. I look at it. I'll often type it. I'll try to write it. I've got, on my phone, I've got audio recordings of myself reading my text that I listen to. Like, you can just download an Audible Bible, but I like to have my pace, my emphasis as I read the text. So I read it out loud, and I give a little bit of a break after each verse. So when I'm trying to recite with myself, I can keep up with it and remember it, and I can pause it if I want to think a little more. I'll go over my passages as I'm going for jogs or as I'm mowing the lawn. Kinesthetic. All these different ways, I think you're going after an enemy. Take every front you can, okay? Auditory, kinesthetic, visual, whatever you can.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.